Let's open our Bibles back to 1 Timothy. On with more honoring God. Praise God. And that's exactly what the name Timothy means. It means honoring God. And tonight I want to go ahead and just pick it up in that first chapter in the first verse. And we'll go ahead and read through verse 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, and remember that's the place of fully purposed, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof what they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Praise his name. What an introduction, and more importantly, what an invitation, praise God, to his truth in love. Now we're going to go ahead and pick it up from verse 5 tonight where we left off. And in verse 5, we read that precious statement, now the end of the commandment. That statement right there means the end of the message. It means the end of the charge. It means the completion of it all, and I love this one, by which a thing is finished. Think of that. Think of what that means to you. By that which a thing is finished. As that struck my heart this week, brothers and sisters, I was thinking, Lord, praise your name for your grace, because that's precisely what you've put in our hearts. That's exactly what God has encouraged us to, again, press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, complete salvation, finishing with a full joy. The culmination of the event of the ages, brothers and sisters, we rejoice in it often, the manifestation of the sons of God. How delighted and joyful our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Godhead. Oh my goodness, all creation is groaning for that manifestation. Grown up into him in all things. Do you see that that is the thing by which it is finished? And all I can say is hallelujah to that. You know it. So as it says this to us, that this is the end of the message or the end of the charge, we best pay attention to what this is. And the completion of it all is very clear. It's love. How simple, how beautiful. It's love. You want to be finished with a full joy? Love. You want to be filled with all the fullness of God? God is love. By God's grace, you want to be grown up into him in all things? Praise God, love. And oftentimes we can get, I appreciated how Brother Hill used to say, you're getting so deep a bubble's not coming up. We can get, the Word of God, let's just say it that way. Knowledge puffeth up, but the love of God edifies. It does. It's always truth in love. It's the word of his grace. It's spirit and in truth. The love shedder. Praise God, grace, the absolute, continuing, completing love of God. And this is the completion of it, brothers and sisters. I appreciate how Brother Kevin has said many times throughout the years, it's a love match. Knowing the love of Christ and having the love of Christ grow up into us in all things. We become like Him. And when we become like Him, we love like Him. We love without dissimulation. We love without hypocrisy. By God's grace, we love always. And we love even when we're hurt. We love when we are kicked. I love sometimes how my natural man almost gets mad at that. And I've had talks with God about that. And I'm glad that He's a patient God. And He said, honey, love. You have that in you. Let's love through it. Love wins the victory every time. But you see, this fullness, brothers and sisters, this completion, and really what this is a reservoir of love. As we get in here to the fifth verse, there's three rivers that flow into this reservoir of love. And the first one that it says there is charity or love out of a pure heart. Now, a pure heart, brothers and sisters, does speak on the surface of sincerity. God help us to come. Let's be real about it. There's nothing to pretend here. He's so lovely, why would we want to? My goodness, brothers and sisters, we're naked before the Lord. He knows us. He knows the hair on our head. He knows our thought afar off. We're not fooling Him. And praise the Lord, I'm so thankful that we get to the point where maybe we humble ourselves before God and understand that He is God. That He's the I Am. That praise the Lord. Father, you are my dad. Praise God. You care for me. You care for me so much. You gave me the only begotten Son. And in that, brothers and sisters, I know He loves me. I'm so grateful in that volume of I've given you everything that I'm all in for you because I gave you my Son. That causes us to seek Him in sincerity. As we know more of the truth, we get more sincere with the Lord, don't we? We get more real. The conversation, the meditation that we have becomes more full. It's not just asking God for things. It's, Lord, grow me up. Lord, search me. And it's not searching me for you to search me. You already know me, God. Search me for me. And if there be any wicked way in me, and I'm going to tell you there, I understand that the blood of Jesus has made me clean. Don't get me wrong. But I know that there's work that has to be done. Let's get it done. Praise God. And I know that the tribulation is going to work patience. And I'm so thankful to God that if I'll endure the chastening, He'll deal with me as a son. And that's why we need to pray for one another, that we don't cower, that we don't draw back in unbelief, but we know that whom He chastens, He loves. He loves us. And He wants us to grow up. And we're going to have experience, brothers and sisters. Our faith must be tried. And I'm so grateful to God that it's in this faith or this love that we have for Him that this pure heart develops. This pure heart pours into the love to make more love. But see, that's just the surface of this. A pure heart, actually, in its depth meaning, it speaks of fire. It speaks of something that's pruned. Think of those things, brothers and sisters. You talk about sincerity. He wants passion. He wants, as Brother David said, God, I pant after Thee. I'm delirious for You. Now, he's the only one that can work that. But it still takes a willing vessel. It takes a vessel that says, Lord, I believe the Word of God will in me, work in me to do Your good pleasure. This is what He wants. This is what He desires. That's what faith brings to our life. And that's what love does, is it causes us to believe the Word of God. Love does. Not because somebody told you. Not because you went to school for so long or you went to church for so many consecutive weeks. It's because the love of God hit you. And that's what it is. And that's why you continue to grow, is because of this love. And this love makes us fiery. And this love, praise God, also talks about, it's this pure heart, it speaks of a, a refiner's fire. It speaks of a pruning. And I love that because the Word of God tells us very clearly that we know Him in His sufferings. And one thing that the Lord has really encouraged in my heart about these sufferings, brothers and sisters, is it proves in us His love to Him. When we're willing to suffer together with Jesus Christ, He's proving in us we love Him. I'm not proving that to you. And matter of fact, I'm not proving anything. He's proving that in me by His grace. That, Lord, You've called me to this. You've chose me. You've enabled. You've brought me to this place. And, Lord, I'm going to trust You. It might be frustrating. It might be something that I'm despairing of my own life. I come to the point, and I talked to a brother this week, I'm getting to wonder if the Lord is testing me beyond what I can bear. It hurt my heart greatly talking to him. And I just grabbed his hand and I said, Brother, Christ in you knows that that's not true. And as he bowed his head, he knew it. And that's why we need to pray fervently one for another. This is weak in flesh, brothers and sisters. But through Christ, who strengthens me, I can do all things and you can too. He's prepared us for the day of battle, hasn't he? He hasn't brought us into anything that he hasn't already prepared and prepared us for complete victory and has already won it for us. Know these things. We are more than conquerors. Go think about what more than a conqueror is and you finally just begin to smile and say, Lord, I think I get it. Now let me believe it. Praise be to God. How wonderful. Now, the second river, though, that flows in here, as it says, is a good conscience. Now, it speaks of his mind. And as the Word of God says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And this is the will of God. Isn't it wonderful that we can believe the Word of God as the brother prayed to be filled with all the perfect and complete will of God? I love that. That wasn't just a far-fetched thought of a nowhere or a somewhere. It's the Word of God. It's His will to us that we would be filled with that. It would be complete and all of it and all full in our lives, brothers and sisters. And how wonderful that God would offer us something like that. But that's why He's God and that's His care for us. But the will of God causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when we yield to that, that this is His desire, that it's His desire to open our hearts, that it's His desire to take the things of Christ and make them mine, then there's a rest to the people of God, isn't there? You begin to cease from your own works. You realize that this isn't something you earn. This is something you take. This is something by God's grace where He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You got a need, honey. And man, do I got mercy and grace. Everything for every need, I've met it. And these are the before good works that ye should walk therein. And it's time to walk. And walk throughout all the land. And praise be to God for that rest, brothers and sisters. That's the confidence, that good conscious confidence that comes forth when we believe God. And then the third river that flows into this vast reservoir of love is this faith unfeigned. And I love that. And I've always thought, Lord, you abideth faithful. You are faithful and true. And praise be to God, Christ liveth in me. I can. Yes, I can. I can through Christ. I can through Christ because Christ liveth in me. That's my faith, brothers and sisters. That's your faith. It's Christ who lives in us. And when it says faith unfeigned, I'm so thankful. Yes, it does mean undeterred. It does mean uninterrupted. But I love the meaning of this unfeigned. It means undisguised. Did you hear that? It means undisguised. It means that it's open. It's made known, brothers and sisters. This faith, it's not something that's hidden in our lives. It's something that's out there. Truly faith that worketh by love. When we believe Jesus Christ and really have great faith, there's a testimony. Love comes forth. Praise God. They know when you trust God. People do. Not necessarily just from your speech, but your actions. Praise God, brothers and sisters. There is a confidence. See, we become so in love with Jesus Christ that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I am thankful for that. I am thankful for the sincerity that is in Christ. I am thankful for people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful when I hear whether it's actors or sports figures or whatever it may be, don't just mention God and I thank the Lord. No, I thank Jesus. I pray that that would encourage your heart greatly when a brother or sister in the Lord is not ashamed of the name Jesus. I heard, and she's been funny, Dolly Parton, she was, I don't know, maybe there is a wind going through our country right now, people getting a little bit bold, and I'm not here to magnify any vessels. I just say, thanks be to God, I know it's His grace. If He used you, you're privileged, praise the Lord. But she said about different things in her life, and then finally she said, and it's Jesus, the power of God. And I thought, you got it. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful. And, you know, just again, that name, not taken in vain anymore. I rejoice. How about you? Huh? God help us to not get haughty. I'm thankful for however Christ is preached. I'm not here to judge. That's not my business. I'm just thankful for any step of faith anybody will come. And again, I know that that's God's work in our lives. But see, this is receiving the grace, this faith that's unfeigned. This is receiving the grace that allows this faith to take hold in our lives, brothers and sisters, so much that we believe all the Word of God. That's what this faith unfeigned is. That's what faith that's not ashamed is. That's faith that believes all the Word of God. That's faith that amongst other Christians or ones that might ridicule you or say you're too addicted to this stuff, you're just too crazy, you're too intense, what's wrong with you? We used to know you, you were fine to be with us, now you've gone overboard. And you know what I'm talking about. We had a pastor that was here for many, many years, praise be to God, and he told you about that radio show that the Lord had given him, and he preached the word and the truth, and they wanted to make it larger and bigger, and they said, but, you know, it's wonderful, God's given you a gift, but that bridal stuff you're just going to have to settle down on, and maybe, you know, don't hit the Holy Spirit so much, and, you know, it's basically when you can have your radio show back. What is it about? Is it about crowds? Is it about numbers? God help us. If it was just to one, and praise the Lord over and over through His truth, we know that God is in the masterpiece, and I'm so grateful to God for that. But see, that's why we can see in looking at these three rivers, this here in the fifth verse, whether it's the pure heart or the good conscience or this faith unfeigned, brothers and sisters, it's the completion of the love masterpiece. The Shulamite finally surrendering to his ever abounding and undeserved love. And I love that. When she finally submits, when we finally submit to him, it's because we finally realize he is smitten with us. He loves us so. He's not smitten with me because of my love. He's just smitten with me because of his love to us. And praise God for that, brothers and sisters. And when that hits us, that magnificence of love that, again, here's the reservoir, that wineskin, it just expands and expands, praise God, to receive more and more of the love of God, to grow up into Him in all things. And I am just, again, just amazed His care and, again, the perfection of His love to us. Now, let's move on to verse 6, because something here is brought out. From which some, so this faith unfeigned, this love, this good conscience, all of these wonderful things that is the epitome of the message of the completing, the epitome of the readied wife, that message. This is what's happened. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now to swerve means to deviate, but it also means to miss the mark. Isn't that something? And how opposite that is of the calling in our life. We press toward the mark. It's a specific mark. It's an exact mark. It's a narrow way for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But you see, a swerve is all it takes. Now, I know a swerve does not sound like much. But again, this is a precise race. And to turn aside or to turn away or to twist out, that's another meaning of this, to twist out, to let go. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The pattern is repeated over and over. Lovest thou me more than these? And brothers and sisters, this is why he specifically sent this sweet brother and encouraged him, I want you to stay in Ephesus. I need you to stay here. Let's go over to Revelation 2 and read why. Over and over and over, may God plant this and nurture this in our lives. Hallelujah. Verse 1, chapter 2. This is to the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That's a good thing. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, wonderful, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The preeminent love. The bridal love. What we just read here, the end of the commandment. Praise the Lord that Jesus Christ, the Godhead, hallelujah, that searches on right now for the true worshiper that will worship him in spirit and truth, the goodly pearl. This is what this is about. This is God's ultimate plan. We rejoiced in that type throughout Genesis 24 that this was the plan for the ages to bring many sons to glory. I am so grateful to God how this is so clear here, brothers and sisters, that it is the first love doctrine. It's the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ will have a readied wife. And I'm grateful to God that this is serious stuff, brothers and sisters. And see, when we cease to fight, and really it is a fight. It's a fight of faith. And it's a good fight of faith. And it's the fight to hold fast the form of sound words, lest they slip away. It's true. Think about what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go over there. Over and over throughout the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If there was ever a time to really listen to the Word of God and hear it and receive it, it's now. It's right now. It wasn't last week. It wasn't when I went through my big trial 2 years ago or when I almost gave up the ghost 5 years ago. It's right now because Jesus, the trump could sound. Praise God. For if the word spoken by an angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I'm so thankful for the ones that heard the word of the Lord in my life, that told me of Jesus, that preached to me the whole counsel of God. I know we're together, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Because through that foolishness, I see something today and you do too. Hallelujah. A lot of mocking, a lot of ones despise it. Oh, you wasted your life. Oh, what could have been? Oh, no. I'm looking at the what's going to be. I know God's got great plans for me. He got big plans for us, brothers and sisters. He tells us that in the Word of God. There's some good scripture in that, but I don't want to give you too much. You won't come back on a Sunday. But then, it's just wonderful to rejoice in this. But see, these brethren, brothers and sisters, and we'll move along here a little bit, they turn from the faith. They turn to vain jangling. And what that means are they turn to empty words. And anymore, And I'm not afraid to state these things, and I'm not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. I'm just telling how it is. Anymore, almost all of the preaching and teaching that you hear, especially on the airwaves anymore, is this exactly. It's fluffy. It's sensationalized sermons. It's like cotton candy. It looks so big and full and rich and beautiful, but once you start eating it, you realize there's nothing there. And that's the truth. And that's what vain jangling is. It's just empty words. And but see, it doesn't just stop there. It tells you what the epitome of empty words are, and that's legality, brothers and sisters. It is. You talk about a void. You go off into legality, it's going to be an empty of empties. Because there's not going to be any love there. There's no love. There's no love in legality. It cannot exist. It's apart from grace. We understand that grace is where love is. And in verse 7, it tells us that they went aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And I love that, how it says that very clearly. So, and this is so prevalent in Christian churches today. I would press you to find a church today that doesn't have somewhere the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying, and we'll get to that in a minute. So I'm going to stop what I was going to say right there. But the Ten Commandments is not our moral compass. It's not. We have to understand. It's just like it says here. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. See, most think that somehow these Ten Commandments are going to put us somehow on the pathway to heaven. The Ten Commandments are what put us on a pathway to be pleasing to God. But as it says there, they neither know what they neither understand or know what they're saying. But I love verse 8 because it doesn't say that we think or maybe. It says that we know. See, in Christ we know, don't we? Praise God. That's very important, brothers and sisters. This isn't a shoot in the dark match. This is light upon light. We know. And be bold in the word of God. Don't be wishy-washy with it. Allow the Lord to enlarge your steps. Know this word. By God's grace, that sword is always sharp. Just be a skilled user of it. But it says there, by using the law lawfully, it says, or properly. That's what that means. And how do you use the law properly, brothers and sisters, is we need to rightfully divide the word of truth. And here is the law divided lawfully. And we're going to start, we're better than in Romans. So let's think about this law. What does it mean to use the law lawfully? Well, let's go over here and start thinking about this for a minute. And we're going right back to our Galatians study. So again, the much, the more, repeating these things and to put them in remembrance, praise God. But in Romans 5:20, it says, moreover, the law entered, here we go, the law entered that the offense might abound. I love that statement. It almost makes me smile and laugh. The law entered not to stop man from sinning, not to get them on a moral compass here. It was to show them how wicked they were. And not just show them how wicked they were, it abounded from there because of the knowledge of, again, of their wickedness. But where sin abounded, it said, grace did much more abound. See, the law was not given so we could use it for a moral compass, but rather that my offenses might abound. The law showed me how guilty I am and how there was no way I could ever live up to that law. I could not do it. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go over there. We'll just hit this quickly, but I hope it just kind of has your heart quicken a little bit and how we've been blessed in Christ. But in Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? See, that's what people say. Oh, well, you're just telling me that the law is... No, let's read the word of God. Let's understand. Let's come in and get his mind, which is the word. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. You ever get people that say, well, I'm just doing the best I can and I'm just going to live good life and I've lived better than everybody. It says it right here that if there was a law that could have done it, it would have been given. And this law can't do it either. Praise God. It won't do that. It's not that way. It was not set up that way. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's not by the law. Praise God. We understand this. This is using the law lawfully of what the law did. The law was that precious schoolmaster that, praise God, brought us unto God. I love that. I love how that is. See, bottom line, what this is telling me is I needed a Savior. See how simple that is? Everybody needs a Savior. Not just me, but praise God, that's my personal Savior and yours too. I need a Savior. And praise God, there's only but one, and that's Jesus Christ. So, and bottom line, I needed someone to nail that old law to the cross for me because the law could not save me. And how do I know the law can't save me? Because the Bible tells me so. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it tells you so very clearly. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Yeah, that law really did something, didn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, wretched man that I am, praise God. That quickens my heart to more love for my Savior. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without, apart from the deeds of the law. Isn't that fabulous? I pray we know that. And it took this life a long time, really, to believe it. Yes, but I could add, nope. If I could only do, nope. It's finished. It's just done. And that's how beautiful the story goes. Colossians 2:14 says, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. See, that law was not for you. It was against you. Quit hanging it on your wall. Praise the Lord. Which was contrary to us. And what did he do with it? He took it out of the way. And what did he do? He nailed it to the cross. Yes, that's some sweet stuff. That is using the law lawfully. Why the law was given. Why the law, praise God, is so absolutely perfect in the plan of salvation. Amen? It showed us that there was no way but God. But God. Hallelujah. And matter of fact, since we said but God, let's go over to Ephesians 2. And we'll pick it right there in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. It wasn't just love, it was great love. Wasn't anything you did, because you're guilty. And oh, I jumped ahead, didn't I? Even when we were dead in sin, that's what that means. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, he didn't just... See, that's what's so beautiful about Jesus is and his saving grace. It didn't just quicken us and save us. It raised us. And it seated us. We're with him. We're in him. You talk about all powerful. And sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Period. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now you're beginning to rest a little bit, because that's what the law showed us, is we needed grace. Praise be to God. All right, let's move along back over here to 1 Timothy, and we'll hit verses 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Listen to these things as they're said here, and then kind of see how it goes. The lawless and the disobedient, yeah, them criminals. For the ungodly and for sinners, oh yeah, those heathens. For unholy and profane, for murderers of father and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, oh, all them killers. For whoremongers, okay, I can get there too, yeah, they're bad. For them that defile themselves with mankind, yeah. For men stealers, and then it just gets right down here for liars, uh-oh. Man, I thought I had it good until. But for the grace of God, come on. Come on. And I believe it says in the Word of God, all men are liars. So here we are. Don't care how honest you think you are, the Bible told me so. But God. Okay, we'll go back there. Hallelujah. For perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. It's so beautiful. If it's not faith, it's sin. This is faith. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is sound doctrine. It's not just bits and pieces. It's the whole, the entire Word of God. Praise God. Rightfully divided. And specifically to us, we follow Paul as he followed Christ. My gospel. And we're going to get to that a minute here in this glorious gospel in the next verse. But I thank God as we read this, brothers and sisters, because in Christ, we are none of these. In Christ, praise God, verses 9 and 10, hallelujah, we're justified by the blood. It's just as if we never sinned. Whosoever is born of God doth not sin, neither can he sin. 1 John 3:9. Don't just say that, believe that. Praise be to God, you'll grow up. You'll become mature. Christ will and do in you of his good pleasure. He'll take you out of things that you thought you never could get out of. He'll show you that, as we rejoiced on Sunday, you were never chained at all. You were just holding it. And that's the truth. Know these things. We get, oftentimes, we get pretty dramatic. Come on. I get in the front line. Oh, I got to worry about this. And then I was laughing at myself this week, and I said, yep, and I'm out there in the barn, and that big old ham hock swinging over my head, and it's going to fall and crush me. It's amazing what that sweet old farmer and those precious words have become real to my life. Hallelujah. Now, if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine. And I love that. I pray that, God, we really see this. See, the law is for sinners. And especially if you think about this sound doctrine, because where it's going here is the sin of legality. But grace and sound doctrine is for us, brothers and sisters. And that's the peace that passes all understanding that Christ has given us. And how much that he is for us. Over and over in the Word of God, what he just continually, he has to help us with our insecurity. I do. My quest is a quest of insecurity after insecurity after insecurity. And God has to come at me with every verse in the Bible. Honey, I love you. Stop. Quit of yourself. Praise the Lord. I think there's a couple that might be naked with me in that, so there we go. But verse 11, and we'll wrap it up with that tonight. It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And praise God, it's even more accurately said, according to the gospel of the glory. That's how it should read. We rejoice in the gospel of the glory. Amen. That's it. And I'm not ashamed of it because of love. And God help us to have that unfeigned faith. Nothing disguised, nothing hidden. That it's sincere, that it's pure, it's fiery. Tried, praise God. Sometimes bent, but not broken. sometimes smoking but ain't quenched. Rise up. We got more to go. Feast, honey. You'll strengthen. And that's what it is. But see, the gospel of the glory, brothers and sisters, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, praise God, in you, the hope of glory. The gospel of glory is from glory to glory into the very image of Him. The gospel of the glory is that if we suffer together with Him, we shall also be glorified together with Him. The gospel of the glory is, let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. The gospel of the glory is, for the woman is the glory of man. And them's just a few of the highlights of the gospel of the glory. And it is from the blessed God. And He is a blessed God to us. I love how words mean such precious things. Blessed. God's got to make that one real to your heart, how blessed He is to you. But it says, committed to my trust. And that's Brother Paul said, committed to my trust. And let's rejoice in that truth as we close. Romans 2:16. We'll take time reading these. I want to read these together. I know we may have heard and read these things, but this is the gospel of the glory to us. This is the sound doctrine. This is our rejoicing, brothers and sisters. In Romans 2:16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's a judging that's going on right now. And brothers and sisters, that judging is truly for the reward that Christ Jesus is working in our lives. That it's not a judgment of my goodness, am I worthy? It's a judgment, brothers and sisters, again, of the wondrous working of the truth and love doctrine in my life. In Colossians 1:25, turn over there. It says there that, whereof I am made a minister, this is Paul again, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. See, that message that was given to Paul, and that word fulfill means to complete the word of God. Remember how we read about the completion, the end of the commandment? This is all what this is speaking of. This was the message that was given to Paul, the secrets of men. The message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The message of to be filled with all the fullness of God. This was given to this brother, and again, given to me for you. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2:7. And again, these are just a few of these precious highlights, highlighting, praise God, of this message of the gospel of the glory given to us. Paul says in 2:7 of 2 Timothy, consider what I say. And brothers and sisters, there wasn't anybody who spoke like this in the Word of God. No, because there wasn't anybody that was the chosen vessel that was given this message in the Word of God. This was the vessel. And again, I emphasize vessel. And if you think about a vessel, what does a vessel do? It sits there. It's emptied and it's poured into and then it's poured out. Total, you are my workmanship. And those vessels back then, again, molded the potter in the clay. And so grateful to God that in that perfection again, it was all the grace of God that was with me. All the grace of God that's with you. But he said, consider what I say. And if you consider what Paul says, look what happens. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's quite a statement. You want to know the word of the Lord? You come to Bible study, and people come to Bible studies all throughout the world, and I'm grateful to God that they do. But if you really want to understand the word of God, you're going to have to consider what Paul says. And I'm grateful to the Lord that as you understand Paul's epistles, than the rest of the Word of God. And especially, you will not understand the Old Testament. You will not even have a clue of Revelation, I assure you, until you understand and consider what Paul says. Then it will open up. It's got the key to the vault, the mystery of Christ doctrine. Philippians 3:17. Turn there. It says in 3:17, "Brethren, be followers together of me." Amen. "And mark them which walk so." Praise the Lord, we have. And by the grace of God, let's continue to do so. "As ye have us for an ensample." Now I could take you over to Galatians and we could read again where it said, "Preach no other doctrine. It's just mine." Praise God, what God has given me for you. And endure sound doctrine, as it goes on to say that. And then finally in 1 Corinthians 11:1, probably the most familiar one that we hear often about Brother Paul, and we quote here pretty much about every Sunday, thanks be to God, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." I pray tonight as we close and as we pray and depart, that would be something leaping upon our hearts, that God has called you and chosen you and enlightened the eyes of your understanding to see to follow Paul as he followed Christ. You've got it all, brothers and sisters, you do. Hallelujah. God help us to rise up. In this day and age of such recession, depression, regression, I don't know what else it might be. Oppression, that's right. My goodness, we're about, well, we are made free, but we're going to be set free from this world. And it's coming. And if there was ever a time to get giddy and excited, it's now. Because it could be today. And no matter, it's coming soon. But I don't know in reading these verses, brothers and sisters, how it could be any more apparent about the mystery of the church was given to Paul. It was. It is. And I'm thankful that this gospel is for us. And that mystery that was given, brothers and sisters, this gospel of the glory, is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs, as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. And that's our rejoicing. That's my glory. In my head. Hallelujah. A precious body, tightly fit and compacted together. But here we are. And so important, brothers and sisters, the ministering of the saints. And all I can do is to commend us to God, brothers and sisters, and truly allow us to be vessels that would be full of that cold cup of water, moment by moment, ready to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you, ready to restore a brother that has been taken in a fault, ready by God's grace to love and to love without hypocrisy. And I'm talking about not just in this meeting, but even when we go tomorrow, if the Lord tarry, our own families, our blood, do we love without hypocrisy to them too? What I'm talking about, do we love the truth enough to tell people the truth? Or are we just picking and choosing? I'm glad Jesus Christ didn't. He just preached the gospel. And God help us to preach the gospel. Let's stand and be dismissed.